Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ.
Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you live from these United States of America, here in the middle of the frosty country, Des Moines, Iowa, where it is a... But if Des Moines was made of root beer, it'd be a really tasty root beer float.
Oh, yeah, it would be a cold one. No doubt.
And that vanilla ice cream sitting in the middle of Des Moines? Well, that's Mercy College of Health Sciences, Ooh. Where both Bud and I work. I'm the director of the Center for Human Flourishing and the senior advisor for Mission Initiatives. Bud, what do you do in that frosty, vanilla, perfectly formed ice cream scoop in the root beer float of Des Moines?
Well, I'd like to think I'm the cherry on top. I'm the associate provost, so my energies most days are spent on all things like academic affairs and just making sure things are humming along with the great education our students receive.
That's right. So, like, that's what I like that idea that what a provost does is the cherry on top. I'm sort of like the frothy, you know, where the root beer meets the ice cream. And just like all wonderful, tasteful things, Mercy College underwrites great things like our show. So, mchs.edu. I think people are going to really be disappointed, and we should really point out, we have no connection to the root beer or ice cream industry. It just came in my head because I heard the word frosty. But there's a lot of great things going on at Mercy College of Health Sciences, mchs.edu.
Well, we never rehearse the start of the show, so it's actually always entertaining for me to see like where the conversation goes. And a lot of times, you know, maybe 6 out of 10, I do think, wow, there's probably an interesting like underwriting angle there. So if I better
the Des Moines
not,
Root Beer Company, does that exist?
Yeah, I better not mention any actual companies on air. They'll send us an invoice. But yeah, that'd be great. We've always wanted like a craft brewery, but a nice little like mom and pop ice cream shop would be cool too.
Yeah, you know, we're here in the corner. You know, we've moved studios, and so I don't know if Jimmy can pull this off or anyone else listening, but you know, maybe just a nice, you know, root beer float shop. Yes, Bud and I have only been talking about it for a full minute, but basically this is the direction we're advocating on air live. I think that's the best time to advocate things.
That's awesome. Well, speaking of the new studio, Jimmy moseyed into the hot mic area this morning, and he was sitting on this chair over here, and I was really impressed. It's kind of like a barbershop chair where it can go up really high and spin around. But apparently our desk, or what would you call this, the board here,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be raised up. So next week, we can stand.
Oh, wow.
More like our diaphragms will be able to fully breathe. And
yeah, I still won't. But it's interesting that we have that option. That sounds like a lot of work. Or, you know, I don't know. Maybe do we need to like train? Are you going to make us stand up, Jimmy?
Yes, I'm going to make you train. This is like turning into like an Iron Man competition.
Nice. I like this. I can, whatever it is, I can already beat Leonetti. That's all I'm throwing out.
So we're getting you ready for Carathon. That's going to be the whole thing. You got to stand for the entire week until we raise so much money before you can sit.
Does Bud remember famously where we had like a push-up contest?
I used to do push-ups on air.
Well, we need to bring that back then.
No, no. We want Bud to be with us for a long time.
My children need me. If the radio station invests in a defibrillator before Carathon, I will do push-ups.
That's right. Defibrillator for each room. No, but folks, like I said, Mercy College of Health Sciences, you know who will use those defibrillators and what you'll be trained to do at Mercy College of Health Sciences underwrites our show, mchs.edu. Well, Bud, we've covered a lot of important stuff, root beer, defibrillators, Carathon, but today we're going to get back into our series on leadership and how that relates to the common good, Catholic social teaching. And so today we're going to be talking about what leadership is not and why it's important to sort of lay that groundwork, especially in a Christian context. We're going to make sure to connect this with what we talked about last time, where we talked about kenosis, right? The self-emptying of Jesus being the model of what leadership should look like. And so we're also going to try to empty out leadership of notions that it can't look like when we consider it under the Christian key. So this is The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher, stick around, and we'll be back right after this.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Dental Associates, addressing your smile needs and dreams. 515-225-6742, Des Moines-DentalAssociates.com. Thank you, Dental Associates, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
They provide unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules, all part of the Mercy College experience.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscaping. Learn more about Five Sons Naturescapes at fivesonsnaturescapes.com. fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry. Sarah is an apostolate dedicated to the support of new and existing vocations to the priesthood and consecrated life. Learn more at joinsarah.org, joinserra.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. Since 1999, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling has been supporting customers with their rules to live by. Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service. GoldenRulePHC.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Back with the Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher joining you this Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the show. We're glad to have you here with us. So, folks, we continue on with our series about leadership in the Christian key, what it is about Christ's leadership that allows us to be leaders in this world, how that relates to Catholic social teaching, and, of course, what implications it has for the common good. So very quickly, just last time, we pointed out that the key to Catholic leadership is to look at Christ, particularly Philippians chapter 2, where it says he did not hold equality with God as something to be grasped onto, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave and dying for our sins. So this that word kenosis in Greek means self-emptying, pouring yourself out for others. So throughout all of what we talk about, we always keep in mind, Bud, that that's what Christian leadership out is, pouring yourself out for others. But it's important before we proceed on, and we always try to point this out with our students, that there's another self-emptying or pouring out that needs to happen, and that's that we need to drain, as it were, our understanding of leadership, of accretions, of ideas that don't really help us when it comes to thinking about that. And the process how you do this is an old philosophical one. This sort of $1,000 word, nerdy word, is apophatic, which simply means the negative way, the via negativa. Now, that can sound like what we're going to do is just bash other types of leadership, but really we're taking this from St. Thomas himself. Thomas Aquinas points out that when it comes to knowledge of God, mostly what we know of God is what he can't be, right? What we know what he is by what he reveals, but when it comes to God himself, we can go, well, he can't be created, right? He can't be bound in time, things like this. This is actually a time-honored philosophical practice with anything, is if we can establish what something can't be or is not, we'll be far along the path of establishing what it is. And so, Bud, all we're trying to say is with leadership, it's important for Christians to do the same. What can't Christian leadership look like?
Yeah, we've talked about this in the classroom sometimes with students where even education, we tend to think of education as dropping sets of ideas into students' minds. But a lot of ways, it's removing bad ideas or wrong ideas, wrong-headed ideas. We've touched on this already in this series about leadership. But when Jesus models leadership for his own disciples, he doesn't say, reject all power, avoid at all costs. He says, like, when you have this kind of authority, you wield it in a certain way. And again, not to retread ground we've already gone over, but you think again of the time where James and John basically have this desire to sit at Christ's right hand in the kingdom of God. And, you know, Jesus, of course, didn't say, well, there is no kingdom or no one will sit at my right hand. But he basically tells his disciples in short, like, look, don't lord your authority over others as the Gentiles do. Anyone who wants to become my follower, who wants to, in a sense, model my kingship, must become the servant of all. So Jesus, one of the first things we can say that he removes is this idea of like lording authority over other people.
Right. And this is essential when we talk about leadership, because I would have to throw out a lot of people when they would think about what is a boss, what is a leader. What do we even mean? It's someone who can lord authority over someone else. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to remove that idea, the essence of leadership is not lording authority over someone else, you start to see how much of the path that we begin to clear away, bud. And one way we would do this in class, so we teach a class called Servant Leadership, and that's attached to it's sort of a industry now. I'm not trying to speak too negatively about it. What is it? Robert Greenleaf, right?
Yep, Greenleaf.
Yeah, and so that's a former IBM executive. And, you know, it's served its purpose well. And we're glad that we've been able to talk about what it means to be a servant. But what we would do, and I think this is where we're getting at eventually, is our leadership is something much more like sacrificial leadership. But that's telling the future there, bud. We'd throw up the two words, servant and leader. And we'd have students write under each what they associated with those words. And so, like, what would they associate with servant?
Yeah. Sometimes negative connotations like doormat or weak-willed, something to that effect.
And then under leadership, they'd have the more typical,
like, successful, influential, etc.
And eventually, we try to push them, right, and to go, okay, well, what else? What are the positive connotations that we'd have towards a servant? And, you know, someone who's there for people, someone who is willing to go the extra mile, all these things. And then, I don't know if you got this from someone else. You were already doing this when I arrived at Mercy. You would then say, well, let's switch these two categories.
Yeah.
And which leader would you rather have? The one that's willing to serve or the one who's going to lord it over other people?
Yeah, I didn't run this idea before you by you before the show started, so... When you like you,
we're going to name leadership here, and like, no kidding.
You floated out the idea of apophatic. I really like this. I mean, like you said, it's a key tool, like in the tradition for thinking about these things. It seems like if we're going to remove one other like piece of the way that we often think about leadership, I would say, Bo, like outcomes. And what I mean by that is, I think to the classic quote from Saint Teresa that Christ asks us not to be successful, but to be faithful. And because in the Catholic moral tradition, there's such a strong emphasis that we must always act for the sake of the good and never do like embrace evil for the sake of an outcome, I think that's really key, because you mentioned this whole, what's it called, like the garden hobby of like servant leadership books cropping up. So many of them are sort of like about influence, so about how to get from A to B. What you see in the lives of the saints is that they embrace the cross. Normally, because of that, they do have this massive influence. You think about someone like St. Francis of Assisi, but you can't start out, I don't think, saying like, if I do X, God is going to achieve Y. You almost have to like divest or detach yourself from the possible outcomes of whatever God is calling you to do.
Absolutely. I think it's imperative that one of the via negativa, the thing we remove, is outcome-based leadership, which I know that if people heard that, they'd be shaking in their boots, right? Because there's so much about leadership that's about measuring outcomes. But it's not that there won't be outcomes. Here, I want to bring in an analogy from our favorite new saint, John Henry Newman. When he talks about knowledge, right, there's knowledge for its own sake, which means it's just worth knowing on its own. But he also points out that anything that you care about for its intrinsic worth, it also will be useful besides, but only if you seek that knowledge first intrinsically. Well, what I think we're arguing, Bud, by this process of removal is leadership is something in the same way. Like, to be a good leader means it's good in its own sake. So if you have a quality of Christian leadership that imitates Christ, you know, come what may, it's worth having a leader like that. But on the other hand, in addition, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these other things will be given to you besides. And that's what we're trying to say with Christian leadership. We have to remove the idea of results, 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 because leaders have to be a certain sort of way, being a certain way before doing a certain way. And what you'll often find, like you said, is that those graces that God has waiting will bloom as a million flowers, but not if you go seeking for the results first.
Well, with that last comment I made, it can be misunderstood, because people hear that, and they think like, oh, Bud just never wants to be evaluated. You know, like, it's sort of like, don't hold me to any standard. That's not what I'm getting at. I mean, the shape of our leadership matters so much, and we should rely on others to sort of like push us in that regard, especially the superiors that God has placed in our lives. But I guess what I'm saying in part is, like, it's so tempting in the world to try to harness the tools of the world to bring about a certain end. I mean, politics is a classic example, but even, you know, we both work in the healthcare field. There's all sorts of ways that sort of philosophical trends and cultural kind of like directions are pushing Catholic hospitals to stay faithful to their mission and their heritage. And it's tempting to say, like, well, if we cut the corner here, it's not what we would want, but we'll still get to point B. And I guess what I'd push back against is if we see Christ as like the icon, like the exemplar of what this looks like, you think back even to his passion where he tells his followers, like, who does he tell? Maybe Herod. No, Pontius Pilate. Like, if he wanted to, he could call down a legion of angels. And I guess when Jesus brings that up, he's like, there are all sorts of points in his ministry where he kind of eschews the sort of like practicality that we often so embrace, like turning stones into bread, calling down a legion of angels. And you think to yourself, like, well, if Jesus had actually done that, couldn't he sort of impose peace on the world? But that's just not the way that I think God works among us.
Also, probably wouldn't work, right? And this is a good point to make is, you know, again, apophatic, thinking in a very different way, via negativa. When you're asking for a leader, maybe one of the questions you should ask is, would this person be willing to go down with the ship?
Yeah.
Like, would they be a good admiral in defeat? And you think about this with Christ, right? The ultimate leader, the person we should all imitate. How did he win his victory, bud? Through being willing to, like, lose all the way to the cross and death. And so a leader who is willing to be nobly defeated instead of, you know, like you were pointing out, doing whatever he could to try to survive, whatever she could to keep going on. A leader that you can, who would tell you, I would go down the ship for these reasons, or like, I would withdraw from my leadership for this because I believe that, like, you know, I have principles. Mm-hmm. That starts to be the leader you want. But we don't usually think about that. When we're interviewing leaders, we're like, what results can you have? How can you do this? How can you pull this off? And instead, maybe we need to think about, if things went as bad as possible, what would you do? How would you react? And that is Christian leadership. But we only get there, again, by removing these things. Well, this is The Uncommon Good. When we get back, we'll get into this one more time, Bud, before the end of the show. Here on Iowa Catholic Radio, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher, stick around. We'll be back right after this.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Divine Treasures, a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community since 1992. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you, Divine Treasures, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Established in Des Moines in 1924, St. Vincent de Paul assists those living in poverty to become self-sufficient by helping to remove roadblocks on their journey out of poverty. St. Vincent de Paul helps with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul, svdpdsm.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Ashworth Vision Clinic. Complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. 515-440-4610. AshworthVision.com. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by CTO. What great news for donors to the Catholic Tuition Organization. You now receive 75%. Yes, 75% of your donation back in Iowa tax credits beginning January 1st of this year. Your support has helped thousands of students attend our Catholic schools. Best gift ever. Online, ctoiowa.org. At CTO, the bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally since 2012 and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited-release beers. Confluence Brewing Company, 1235 Thomas Beck Road off the bike trail south of Grays Lake. ConfluenceBrewing.com.
Thank you, Caldwell Parish, for underwriting Iowa Catholic Radio. Conform to the wishes of the deceased and to Catholic liturgical burial traditions. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home, Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. CaldwellParish.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Permar Security, a Catholic-owned family business providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. PermarSecurity.com, 515-244-5660.
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bob Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr joining you this Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the show. As we're wrapping up here, Bud, you know, we've talked about, we've thrown a lot of ideas at people, right? Kenosis, self-emptying, that to imitate Christ in the Philippian hymns is to pour oneself out. But in order to, like, understand how that works on the ground in our human society, we have to be apophatic, via negativa. We have to think about what leadership is not or can never be when we, as Christians, understand it. So we've thrown out some ideas. It needs to not be merely about wielding authority. It can't be that. It can't be simply results-based. Mm-hmm. But as we sort of ended, maybe people go, well, this just sounds like you're setting up Christian leadership to not work, right? Are you just saying that people should be doormats? As, you know, a leader should just let himself be ran over, let herself be ran over. Are you just saying that leadership in the Christian key is just a willingness to fail? But this gets to the crux of the matter that I think will really open up the vista about where we're going in Christian leadership and why the cross demands a unique take on leadership from the Christian. So, Bud, why is what we're saying not, you know, leaders in Christian leaders should not just be doormats and, you know, should just not be set up for failure?
Well, I think this question might be one of the most difficult to answer in the entire conversation. And I think you could almost write an entire book just on this subject because it's the one that requires the most discernment. And when you raise that, Bo, what comes to mind is all of the sort of like heroes of the faith that we look to in Scripture, and then many of the great saints, they had this prophetic intervention when things were really going off the rails. So the prophets are obviously like massive examples of this. I think to Jesus cleansing the temple, if what Jesus said about servanthood was just about being a doormat, I don't think he would have flipped over tables at any point in his life.
Right.
But you have to be, you really have to be, I think, rooted in God's word and guided by the Holy Spirit to do that well. We don't have time to unpack it completely today. Maybe we can circle back in a later week. But I think the key, Bo, to me is that those prophetic denunciations from Jesus and from the great saints, they weren't about destroying things. So often when we see an injustice, there's the temptation just to like burn it all down. But Jesus didn't get rid of the temple. He transformed what temple practice should look like. The prophets weren't saying like, okay, Israel, you've gone so far off the rails that, you know, God's promises no longer hold true to you. They called the people back to who they were supposed to be. It's the same like, you know, like there's some harsh words against kingship in the Old Testament, but it's not kingship qua kingship that's terrible. It's that you don't have a king who truly follows Torah. And that's like when Moses first prophesies like what this great king will look like, it'll be a king who fully embraces Torah. So, like I said, we're a little bit short on time, but I think that idea of like transformation instead of destruction.
And I think that that's the paradox of all this. You even think about leaders that do very leadership-sounding things. So, like, David defeats Goliath. But David doesn't defeat Goliath in a very standard way. What does he do? He throws off his armor, he gets a bunch of stones, and he relies on like what he learned as a shepherd to fell the giant, right? There's this great divesting that then gives the strength to conquer even giants. And so this is it, right? Nietzsche, we'll end on Nietzsche. He says that, like, you know, Christianity can't be true because it's just herd morality. It's just the weakest among us trying to, like, stifle the strong. But actually, there's nothing stronger than being like Christ and willing to let it all perish for the sake of others. So strength is not defensiveness, but strength, only the strong can be ultimately vulnerable enough to do what Christ did. And all the saints who are great leaders replicate that. So this is the Uncommon Good. And for this week, we're going to have to stop there. We're looking forward to continuing this as we go along. Bud, when people want to join the prayer life of Iowa Catholic Radio, what are the ways they can do so?
Yeah, please join us in prayer. We broadcast the rosary at 6 a.m., at 10 a.m. You can access the rosary anytime, anywhere on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. We also have prayer in the afternoon. 2:55 p.m. is the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
And for today, just to make a special appeal, Pope Francis has proclaimed today, January 26th, as a day of prayer for peace in Ukraine. And there will be a Mass at 12:15 at St. Ambrose Cathedral, even to the normal 12:15 Mass. But it will be followed by a holy hour and Eucharistic adoration to pray for peace, and then concluding at 1:45 with benediction. So you can join us, everybody, in person or live stream on Facebook for that Mass, the Day of Prayer for Peace in Ukraine. Definitely something show about the common good. We want to make sure to point out the power of prayer and the necessity of praying for peace. We mentioned this before that that we have Spring Carathon coming up, so please keep that in mind. Please prayerfully consider donating, and you can check out all of that and everything else that's going on at iowacatholicradio.com, where you can listen live, donate, find out all those other things. But you can also reach us through our social media. Friend us at Iowa Catholic Radio on Facebook, at IA Catholic Radio on Twitter, and then if you download the Iowa Catholic Radio app, you can listen live wherever there's data, donate, listen to recorded shows, but keep up on everything we're all about. Bud, great show. I'm looking forward to continuing our lessons here about leadership in the Christian key, and go forth and not being a doormat, but pouring yourself out for others this week.
Also, stay warm.
Yes, stay warm and maybe have a root beer float. This is the Uncommon Good. God bless. We'll talk to you all next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and The Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences. Learn more at mchs.edu.